Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The gospel is a gospel of grace. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. This word grace is central to everything that God provides for us. Jesus Christ is the one who is full of grace and truth. So when we speak of grace, we're speaking about Jesus. We're not speaking about a thing. We're speaking about a who. Jesus is the one who saves us. And as we respond by faith to him, we experience new life. We receive that forgiveness that he provided. We receive the gift of God's Spirit in us. That's what grace is. But if you want to talk about a place where Satan attacks, it's right there with that word grace. I was doing a word study on grace in the New Testament, and of all the places grace appears, there's only one time that an adjective is attached to it. That place is in 2 Corinthians, as Paul is talking about the surpassing grace the Macedonians exhibit in giving to meet the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. But every other time the word is used, it's simply grace. No adjective attached. It's sometimes called the grace of God. It's sometimes called Jesus' grace. It's sometimes called his grace. But for the most part, it's just grace. Now, what has Satan done? Man, he has moved us to attach all kinds of adjectives to it, whether it's good or bad. There are folks that call it radical grace. And certainly we have the song Amazing Grace, and I'll give the song that. I think that's good. But there's radical grace. There's revolutionary grace. And then the critics call it cheap grace or hyper grace. And we've got all of these adjectives, and every time we put an adjective in front of that word, we rob it of its real meaning. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Grace is what saves us. Why? Because it is attached to Jesus. He is the one who is full of grace. So I am begging believers just to simply call it grace. And when you call it grace, recognize you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that's amazing. He's the one that is revolutionary. He is the one that's radical.
And so many times we hear people refer to it as the grace message.
Right.
It's Jesus' message.
Absolutely. It is truly a Jesus message. Mm-hmm. He is God's good news to man. He is grace in action. He's the one that makes us alive. He's the one that forgave our sins. He's the one that declared us to be children of God. He's the one that gave us his Spirit, imparted to us his Holy Spirit. He's the one that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. He's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that does all of these things, and everything that he does, that's what grace is. It's nothing less than Jesus Christ. So let's take back that word, and let's realize the power that's within that word. Satan has no defense against that.
Yeah.
And if we will stop arguing about what grace is or what grace isn't and just accept it, we will experience all that God has for us in grace. That's why we can truly say, as the song says, that it is amazing in our everyday lives.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Basic gospel, folks.
Yes, indeed. And this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of calls on the line right now. A couple of open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
We're going to go to Brooklyn and talk with Jamie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jamie.
Yes, hi. What I would like to know, why does St. Jude Philemon and Obadiah is only one chapter in the Bible, and what do they have in common, and why is this so?
Well, Jamie, excellent question. He's talking about some little books there at the end of the New Testament, Jude and Philemon. And these were just letters that were written to the church, and they just wrote down what God inspired them to write down through the Holy Spirit. The message is concise. Jude is a warning about false prophets. It's a call to believers to contend for the faith that has been once and for all delivered to the body of Christ. So it's a very, very powerful warning. Philemon, Paul had some personal business to conduct with Philemon about his slave, used to be slave, Onesimus.
Yeah, runaway slave.
Yeah. So Paul had some personal business, and it was what he wrote was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we see some important information there that that helps us in our day-to-day journey with Christ.
Yeah, but how about the book of Obadiah? It's only one chapter. Why is it only one chapter in Obadiah, in St. Jude, and in Philemon? Only one chapter. Why? Why? And what do they have in common other than that they're only one chapter?
They're inspired by God. That's what they have in common. They're the Word of God. Now, I will say this, Jamie, as far as chapters and verses are concerned, that's a man-made convention. These particular books or letters weren't written with chapter and verse in mind. So there were some letters that were longer than others, and a lot of the people that organized the Bible, how they put the Bible together, they put them together based on, you know, the length of the book or the length of the letter. So chapters and verses, that's our convention, and it was to help us in finding things more rapidly. But that's not how it was originally written. So Jude didn't sit down and say, I'm just going to do a one-chapter letter. And Paul said, well, I'm going to do a 16-chapter letter to the book of, to the Romans. He just wrote as God inspired him to write. And so did Obadiah and Jude and Paul as far as Philemon was concerned.
Yeah, but he, you did not explain why there's only one chapter. I mean,
that's
really.
That's as long as they need it to be.
I know the entire Bible is inspired. Everything, not man, has nothing to do with it. The entire Bible is inspired. But the thing is, you know, there's only one chapter for Obadiah, for Philemon, and St. Jude.
Yeah.
That's all God moved them to write. Same with 3 John and 2 John. That's all God inspired them to write at that particular time. And so it obviously made a difference in the lives of those who read it initially. So folks recognized the power and authority of those writings, and that's why they were included in the Word of God.
Yeah, but the entire Bible is inspired. The entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, everything is inspired by God. Everything.
That's what we've just said, Jamie. We agree with you there. So there's no other explanation as to why some letters are shorter than others, other than that's all God inspired them to write at that particular time. I don't think we need to get into that any further. But
okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jamie. Thanks for your call.
Whip that one like a rented mule.
That's right. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk to Glenn listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Glenn.
Thanks for your call. Whip that one like a rented mule. That's right.
Hey, Glenn, can you turn your radio down so we can hear you?
Yes. My question is, seems that I've been having a very difficult time trusting God for sanctification. I mean, I trusted him to save me, but seems like I still have a propensity to want to try to sanctify myself, whether through fasting or some other means. And it is really basically destroyed any relationship that I had with the Lord because, you know, I always wind up at the same place. And I just is this just a natural propensity that we have or...
Well, let me read something to you from the book of Galatians, Glenn, chapter 3. Paul just takes a sledgehammer and just nails us right between the eyes. And he does for all of us, because you're right, Glenn, we are natural-born legalists. We try to take things into our own hands. We saw that with Abraham. You know, God promised Abraham a son, and time was passing, the clock was ticking, and so Abraham and Sarah, they came up with a plan to help God along. And that's what we try to do as well. We come up with plans to try to help God along. When God says, no, be patient and allow me to do in and through you what I want to do. So he moved Paul to write this to the Galatians in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? So, Glenn, how would you answer that? How did you receive the Spirit? By believing through faith or by observing the law?
By believing.
By believing. So he goes on to say, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? It's a rhetorical question, and the answer is obvious. It's because we believed what we heard. So the takeaway in this, Glenn, is let's continue in that life of belief, that I'm going to trust God just as I trusted him for his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to trust the living Christ to do his thing in and through me. I'm not going to try to, you know, hurry things along. I'm not going to try to take things under my control and make things happen according to my efforts, my human efforts. I am truly going to trust Jesus Christ to work in and through me. That's what I'm going to trust him to do. And in that, we can count on him to continually renew our minds and to kind of purge that old thinking out of us, purge those old attitudes out of us, and in so doing, change the very nature of our actions. But we have to put that in his hands, not ours. So, Glenn, I think you've recognized the problem. Now it's just time to say, Lord, I truly am willing to trust you in this.
Right. Right. Okay, thank you very much.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. It does.
I'm telling you, Glenn, faith is the hardest thing you and I are going to engage in ever. It goes against everything that was in us that came to us through the fall. I mean, faith is not natural to us as sinners. But when we respond to that gospel, faith now becomes our new way of life. As a believer, faith is your way of life. And so as you trust him, you're already sanctified. He's already set you apart for his use. Now just make yourself available to him.
Right. I hear you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You are welcome, Glenn. You hold the line. It's a great question. We have some resources that we would like to put into your hands that can be a help to you, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, you hang on, Glenn. Well, let's go to Gil listening to us in Queens. Hi, Gil.
Happy Sheep Day, guys.
And to you as well.
Amen. Before I do an encouraging thing in the Bible, I just wanted to share the question about Obadiah. 2 Peter 1:21 says that for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to be an encouragement to all the listeners, but especially Louise yesterday who called in. I want to share three verses. I don't know if she's listening or anybody else that's listening that has trouble with the assurance of salvation. And I kind of have these verses together to be a great encouragement. And one of them is, I believe it's 1 Peter 3:18. It says, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Then it says, "He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." And the other two scriptures I want to share is John 5:24, which I know you know very well. John 5:24, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has," present tense, "eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." And this is for Louise, Revelation 3:20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So she received the Lord. I don't know when it was exactly because I missed that program, but I know that John 1:12 says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And I also want to be an encouragement to her by saying, if she's interested, I live in Queens. I'd love to give her my number off the air because I used to do a ministry. I still do sometimes a ministry of encouragement to a lot of people. And I'm also blind, and I want to reach out to her. So if you guys could, like, have my number off the air, I could leave it for her, too.
Yeah, well, Gail, we'll do that. Let me put you on hold. But I certainly appreciate your encouragement to all of our listeners through sharing these verses. And these are verses of grace. Grace is what enables us to cross over from death to life. Grace is what enables us to be brought back to God in relationship with him and be reconciled to him. Grace is what enables us to really open that door and enjoy true fellowship, true life in the Son. So this gospel is truly a gospel of grace from start to finish. And Gil,
amen.
As always, we thank
you. Yes. I want to say that the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And it is by grace that we have been saved, through faith, and this not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, even for Louise. I'm reaching out to you. This is Gil. I love you. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Gil. You hold on, okay, my friend?
All right, thanks.
Okay.
You found Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Several of you have phone lines, and hold on. We'll get to your call as quickly as we can.
Yes, we will. Let's go to Kevin in Abbotsford, British Columbia. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I had a question about parenting under the New Covenant, but then I just one other thing that popped in my brain was just this this thing of sanctification. My wife and I were running a class up here called The Gospel of Grace and using some resources from Rob Rufus, who does some great teaching on grace. And one of the questions that quite often comes up is, okay, yeah, I'm saved by grace, but don't we still need the law in the sanctification process? And, you know, I just wanted maybe some clarification. I've had some answers and tried to explain that to people. Just wondering what your thoughts were about that.
Well, here's,
you know, how does sanctification work now once we're saved?
Well, the fact of the matter is that we've already been sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about that. He says, here's what some of you were, but now you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. So we have been set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a once and done thing. Now that we've been set apart, we start to grow in grace. And that's, I think, the language of the New Testament. 2 Peter 3 writes this, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So if we grow in grace, grow in our understanding of grace, we're going to see our minds being renewed. We're going to see our attitudes being renewed. We're going to see our actions being transformed. That's the power of the grace of God in our lives. And folks will look at that and say we're being more and more set apart. Well, we're experiencing that sanctification in our souls, in our minds, in our emotions, and in our wills, which will eventually show up in our actions. So this growing in grace is a process, and growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we get to know Jesus, we can count on transformation occurring in our lives. That's just the way it is. Get to know him. You don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's good news.
It is good news.
And then just one quick question. Just regarding parenting, right? Like, as my wife and I have gotten really good hold of this grace message and, you know, learning more and more about it, we're realizing, you know, the way we parented before, you know, you telling your kids what you did wrong and punishment and stuff like that. Now we're just like, you know, is that really the way to do it? You know, we had a question last night in our class, well, what about the Ten Commandments, you know? Do we teach the kids the Ten Commandments anymore? Or do we, how do we relate to them in a new covenant to, you know, really draw out who they really are in Christ?
Well, Kevin, I think you have to capture your kids' heart and, you know, deal with them on that basis. And, of course, when they're younger, they're not going to necessarily understand, so you deal with them a little bit differently when they're small. You know, you set rules and boundaries for their protection, for their good. You tell kids, don't go out in the street. If you do go out in the street, you're gonna be punished for that. And the punishment isn't for retribution or to as a wage for their sin. The punishment is for corrective nature, to show them that this is a dangerous situation, and they need to be aware of that. But if you see your kid out in the street, and they're really young, what do? You go out in the street and pick them up and bring them back to safety. So it's all a matter of protection, and so you set rules and boundaries when they're young. But as they start to grow, you let go of some of those things. You give them more and more responsibility and let them see the consequences of good choices and bad choices, not in punishment, but just in the consequence of the act itself. And you do so in a protective environment. You do so in a loving environment. And as they start to learn, you can have this dynamic relationship with them, this give and take, where you can actually have conversations and tell them the whys and the wherefores. And they'll respond to that. They really, really will. At least that's been my experience. And Richard, I think that's been your experience as well.
Yeah, such a contrast, because when I was young, I was parented under the law. It's not like my parents were abusing me. That's all they knew. I was parented under the law, and when I went through my teenage years and was dealing with the normal teenage junk, the law didn't help a bit, not one bit. And it even made the junk worse because I couldn't do anything about it. Well, our kids, by the grace of God, we raised them differently, and they went through some of the junk, but we had the ability to have a conversation about it and talk about why it was appropriate or inappropriate and all the rest of it. It changes everything.
Yes, it does.
Hardest thing parents will do is parent by grace.
But it's the best.
It's the only way to do it.
Well, Kevin, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for Basic Gospel. You know, each weekday afternoon, we're live on the air showing how the Basic Gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's your prayers and gifts that make it possible for this program to be on this, your station. And your support is vital if we're to remain. So to say thanks for standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. Now, this is your final opportunity to get your copy of this excellent book with a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. So make that call or go online to donate and request your copy today. The number, 800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 5 Central Time today. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And if you'd like to review each day's broadcast or some particular call thereon, get on the email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and each day you'll receive an email with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. If you feel this broadcast is beneficial to you, your family, and friends, well, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO, and be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.